1 Corinthians chapter 11. I believe that is one of the most blessed songs that Isaac Watts ever did write. As you all know, I favor them old hymns filled with scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. We'll just read down to verse 26. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Pray the Lord bless the reading of his word. You know, 38 years ago, when I partook of my first Lord's Supper as a Christian, I vaguely remember the sermon, but I remember the first time I partook of the Lord's Supper. Ignorant as I was of Scripture and of God, I knew there was something about that ordinance that blessed my heart and my soul. And over these last 38 years, I've spent a lot of time studying this subject in history as well as Scripture. And just like the unity of the saints, which is so torn apart by divisions and schisms, it's always broken my heart what people have done to this divine ordinance in assisting our adversary, the devil, in bringing confusion and ignorance about its value and its blessings to the believer. Mankind has a way of distorting the truths of God to where people become confused. Men begin to raise their own convictions above that of scriptural truth. Traditions begin to take place of the Word of God. And before you know it, that which the Lord instituted for his church, instead of becoming something of great blessing and encouragement to God's people, has now become a subject of debate and controversy. Closed communion, open communion, real wine, pure grape juice, once a month, every Sunday. And even those who come to the Lord's Supper with empty hearts and empty heads, unprepared. This is a glorious ordinance the Lord gave his church. And I believe in many ways we have abused it, neglected it, and for that we have suffered as believers. There's no power in this bread. There's no power in the juice. Nothing in there, like the Catholics believe, can save you. But it still is an ordinance that the Lord instituted for his church, that we might be encouraged. And when people come to the Lord's table with confusion or controversy, I believe they lose the blessings of which the Lord intended this ordinance to give God's people. It was not only a time of unity and fellowship in that upper chamber, which this should also encourage, but it was a time and an event which the Lord wanted his people to remember, so that we might be encouraged as his people as we seek to live for him in this present world. We should always be walking away from the Lord's table with great encouragement, humility, adoration, and love for Christ. This do, our Lord said, in verse 24 and 25 in remembrance of me. These blessed words of our Lord and Savior spoken on the very eve of his crucifixion as he instituted the Lord's Supper for the first time should greatly humble, encourage, and strengthen our hearts. Listen to these words. This do in remembrance of me. Humble us, for how could we ever forget such a great sacrifice Christ so freely gave to redeem such sinful and fallen sinners? This do in remembrance of me. It's almost as though the Lord is saying, you're going to forget the importance of what I'm fixing to do, of my body being torn and my blood being spilled. You're going to forget that. And I don't want you to forget that, because that is going to be something that's going to encourage you and strengthen you in your Christian walk in this life in the world. This is what's going to give you strength and comfort and encouragement. Don't forget Calvary. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I love what the old Puritan said. We should never stray far from the shadows of Calvary. In other words, don't get so far you forget Calvary. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, I pour contempt on all my pride. Surveying is more than looking. It's looking at every detail. Observing the crown of thorns, the swollen eyes, the beaten face, the torn skin on his back, the bruises, the humiliation. You want to fall in love with Christ again? Survey the cross. Look at it in great detail. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Remember me. Don't forget. But it's not only to humble us, I believe it's to encourage and strengthen us. For I believe his exhortation to remember doesn't simply mean we might forget, but that we should always, as true believers, be constantly meditating, examining, and dwelling Christ's great sacrifice. For the true remedy for all our sorrows and our troubles and our afflictions is the cross of Christ. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadow o'er me. Constantly meditating and remembering, praying over, considering. It's amazing he doesn't say, remember my resurrection. He said, but I want you to remember my broken body and my poured out blood. I want you to think about it. So I think it's not so much that we would forget about what he did, but I think it's more of an encouragement that we should spend quality time thinking about it, remembering it. Because in all our problems in life and all the tribulations and troubles, and we'll look at that in a minute, the answer for that, the remedy for those problems is remembering what he did on Calvary. Lose yourself in the death of Christ and watch how small your problems become. First of all, in remembering him, because he has overcome the world, which causes you much tribulation. In John 16:33, the Lord said, in the world you'll have much tribulation, but be of good cheer, be of good courage, go forth, because I've overcome the world. How did Christ overcome the world? The world that you and I are facing today, I dread turning on the news or looking at news bulletins on my phone. The world is so chaotic and messed up. It's getting worse all the time. The sin that man is doing in the world today. Man's always been sinful, but man, I'm telling you, the true nature of sinful man is getting even worse and revealing itself even more and more. The world is chaotic. And the Lord said, you're going to have tribulation in that world. But he said, be of good cheer, be of good courage, go forth, because I've overcome the world. How did he overcome the world? By his death on Calvary. Think about this for a minute. When the world begins to discourage you and trouble you and persecute you, look to Calvary and see how he overcame the world. He said, I've overcome, I've subdued it, I've conquered it. I've got the victory over the world. Too often we allow the world with all its troubles and trials and hardships to discourage and trouble us. We begin to worry about our daily needs. We begin to worry about the things of the world, the present temporal things of the world. When that begins to happen, remember him on Calvary. Remember what he did, how he overcame the world. This world has nothing for the believer. And I believe when the Lord said, whenever you partake of this Lord's Supper, I want you to remember how I've overcome the world. We get so frustrated, sometimes angry at what the world does and how it speaks so badly and wickedly about God and Christianity. And we get wrapped up in that and we forget. Like in Sunday school, you forget how big God is, and sometimes your troubles get bigger than God. We're getting in that next week in Exodus, but that's what happened to Israelites. Instead of looking to God, they looked to the Egyptians and they were mad. They were fearful. Peter looked at the waves instead of Christ, and that's what we do. We begin to look at the world. We begin to get troubled by it. I believe the Lord meant for this institution to encourage us every time we partake about it. Don't let the world trouble you. Don't let the world bother you. If I've overcome the world, here's the evidence of my overcoming the world. I gave my life for you. My body was torn for you. My blood was spilled for you. Concentrate on that. Think about that. What can trouble you and I? Think about this. If you're a true believer and you've ever done this, you know what I'm talking about. What can trouble you and I when our hearts and our minds begin to get fixed on what Christ did on Calvary and what he paid for our sacrifice? And what he obtained for us in bearing our sins. What could ever trouble you and I? By remembering how Christ in his death has overcome the world, beloved, we receive courage and confidence to go forward. So many people come to the Lord's table expecting nothing, and so they leave receiving nothing. Most of them is because they haven't been instructed or taught on the importance of the Lord's Supper and the significance of it. So they just think, well, this is something the Lord ordained. I take the Lord's Supper, I take the bread, I thank God for his body, his blood, and then I go home. No, every time we come to partake of the Lord's Supper, these things should fill our hearts and our minds. Remember how he has overcome the world. This is why a lot of times Spurgeon definitely wanted to do the Lord's Supper every Sunday. He said it should be done every single Sunday. Many churches do that today. I've heard some churches say we don't do that because it gets monotonous. Not if you have a right understanding about it. But Spurgeon wanted to do it every Sunday because he felt and knew the importance of it and how it encouraged believers. But they had a different understanding of the Lord's Supper. He instructed his church on the importance of it and the significance of it, and therefore everyone loved it. Nobody would want to miss the Lord's Supper because of how it encouraged them and strengthened them. The world we live in today, though it may cause us much tribulation, as the Lord said, partaking of this reminds us that it's a conquered and vanquished world. I've overcome the world. I've overcome it. I've conquered it. I've subdued it. I've got the victory over it. And it's by our remembering him that we assure our hearts and our minds that it is a vanquished world. We're fighting a defeated foe. The world and devil, and we'll get on him in a minute, they're defeated, they're vanquished. And the Lord said, when you partake of this, This is what you remember. You don't just come to the Lord's Supper because, well, okay, it's the Lord's Supper. I'll partake of the bread. You come with these things on your heart and on your mind. This is what I want to be reminded of. Were the whole realm of nature mine? I love that verse. That were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, surveying the cross, demands my soul, my life, my all. Look over in Romans chapter 8, very familiar passage of Scripture. I have a fear too familiar for many people. They just have read it so often that they actually forget its true blessings. Romans chapter 8. Read with me these very familiar verses and think about them in light of partaking of the Lord's Supper. Romans 8, 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God gave his only son to suffer that, would he not freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, not out, not without them, but in them, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Where did Christ display his love? On Calvary. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Where do I assure myself of this love of Christ? This do in remembrance of me. So the Lord has overcome the world. Every time we partake of the Lord's Supper, we need to be reminded of him because he's overcome the world. This do in remembrance of me, that you might know and be assured in your hearts. And here's a really blessed one, that your sins are forgiven. Now let me just stay on this for a few minutes. Nothing breaks the heart of a true believer more than the guilt of sin. And sometimes it's a heavy burden. Oh, we know that we're saved. I hope. But the guilt of sin is a heavy burden. Whenever we come to the Lord's table, and we've always had a bad week, John Newton said it best, or John Bunyan, he said, I've sinned enough in the last hour that God would be just in sending me to hell forever if it were not for the blood of Jesus Christ. We go through a whole week in this world. We suffer temptation. The adversary tempts us. The world lures us. Sometimes we drag our spiritual feet into church and it's like, God, I've lived a defeated life all week. I've failed. I've committed sin. There's times I've been unfaithful. But when I come and partake of the Lord's Supper and he tells me, remember him, I'm reminded that he's forgiven me of all my sins. Beloved, herein lies the true believer's refuge and defense against the fierce onslaughts of sin and its guilt. It secures our salvation and assures our hearts of Christ's continual intercession on our behalf. His continual intercession. By continual, I mean, we could walk in these doors saying, oh, my salvation is secure in Christ. Yes, I know I'm saved forever. I know that Christ is my Savior. When I die, I'll be in the presence of God. I'm assured of that. But I've lived a defeated life, and I need to know and be assured that He's interceding on my behalf, and He's forgiven my sins. That's what happens when we come to the Lord's table. We remember Him, and we look at Calvary. And we see that our sins have been paid. For God manifested His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Every drop of blood, every groan, every pain, everything He suffered, even the wrath of God, He did that to secure my salvation. And He's still doing that. He's interceding on my behalf. That's what I think about when I approach the Lord's Supper. In remembrance of me. Look over in 1 John. Read with me, if you will, 1 John chapter 7. Now watch this. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let me ask you a question. Food for thought. Listen to me. Why does John say, if we walk in the light, He's in the light, we have fellowship with God. But in the same breath, He talks about sin and the blood of Christ. Because as true believers, we know as we fellowship with Christ, there's still that proneness to sin. And the closer we get to that light, the more we realize how unworthy we are. That's why we need assurance of His blood. And His blood cleanses us from all sin. That's exactly why He says that. Listen to this. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write in, it's just sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He, here it is, He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. What's that mean? He is the propitiation. What does that mean? When I survey the wondrous cross, when I remember Him, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood, which is spilled for you. I'm reminded of His propitiation for my sins. Beloved, listen to me. A lot of Christians struggle with this in their Christian life. They struggle over an assurance of forgiveness of sins. They do. They know in their heart and their mind that they're saved, but the guilt of sin torments them. You need to know what you have in Christ. And you need to know by faith to see that and to acknowledge that and pray for that. You need to understand what you have in Christ. Our problem is we do not exalt and we do not think and meditate enough on Christ and His person and His work and what He's doing and what He's done. So the Lord says, every time you partake of this, remember me. By our remembering Him, we're made free of the guilt and torment that sin brings. And through repentance, we receive the blessings of full forgiveness. See from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love or sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? I'm remembered of that. Thirdly and lastly, not only He's overcome the world, not only the sin, but thirdly and lastly, because through His death, He destroyed Him who had the power of death, which kept us in bondage, namely the devil. You can say what you want to. We kind of avoid the question. But Christians should really, like the old Puritan said, make death their ambassador, their friend, because one day death is the ambassador that's going to lead us to Christ. You know what I used to do? This may sound morbid, but it's not. In Germany, because it's not like in America. In Germany, the graveyards are the most beautiful place you could ever think of. Man, them Germans do it up. I mean, they plant big, gorgeous trees. There's benches everywhere. There's water faucets everywhere. There's fountains. I mean, the best place in the world to take a walk is through the graveyard because they're beautiful. Nice marble stones. All Germans, most Germans, plant real flowers on the grave that grow, and they're beautiful. It's amazing. You can sit in a graveyard for hours and hours and enjoy the beauty and serenity of it. People say, "Preacher, that's morbid." No. We don't acquaint ourselves with death because, you know, it's imminent. We don't do that until it is so close to us we can't avoid it. He said, "Listen, when you do this, remember that I've overcome death. I've taken away the power of him who had the power of death that kept you in bondage. I've freed you from death and his bondage. I've set you free." I have two old ladies in our nursing home. I won't tell you their names because of just privacy reasons. One's 98, one's 99. Known them for years. Their sisters are in the same room. They want me to come in every day and sing with them. Her daddy used to be a preacher. So I'll come in and I'll pray. And then we'll start singing. And I say, "What would you like to hear today?" They've got dementia problems. And she'll say, "Oh, I don't remember the song, but it's something like On a Hill Far Away or something in that." And so we'll start singing the old Rugged Cross, and we'll start singing Blessed Assurance, and we'll start singing What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and we'll start singing these songs, and a few residents will start gathering in the hallway outside the door listening, and we'll sing them songs, and she just, for some reason, she couldn't remember it, but when we're singing it, she remembers every word, and she starts singing it. And tears will well up, and she goes, "My daddy used to sing that song." She said, "My favorite song is Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound." We sang that song, said, "What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. I'll look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace." And her sister began to cry. And she said, "Oh, you know, I'm 99. It won't be long." When you partake of this, remember, I've defeated death for you. You're now victorious over death. I've taken away from him who kept you in bondage. You know what people out there fear without Christ? They fear death. Why? Because it's permanent. When you lose somebody, you don't see them in this life again. They have no hope. We have hope. So when you come before the Lord's Supper, and you partake of the supper, this is what we should be remembering. There's other things we should remember. I just highlighted three of the most important. But let me add something else to this. I don't know where everybody, and I'm tired of the controversy of it anyway. People want to debate about it. It's fine with me. But let me tell you something. The Bible says these blessings are those who partake, not those who observe. I've seen people in my 30 years as a pastor refuse to take it for some reason, and they've got the right if they don't want to. But if you look at Scripture, it's actually a command to take it. And I know people can have their own convictions, their own right. They need to stick to their conscience. But every time we don't partake, we can't claim these blessings. You can't be an observer. You have to be a partaker. Every time you drink this cup, doesn't make somebody pious or godly by not taking it. This subject came up with John Bunyan and also, John Bunyan. He was one of the ones who came up with this. Big controversy even back then. He said, "What's the biblical requirement for partaking of the Lord's Supper?" He said, I'll tell you what the biblical requirement is. The biblical requirement is that you're saved, that you're a child of God. That's the biblical requirement. What are the other requirements people attach to that? That's the church prerogative. They can do it with what they want to. But it's because you're saved. But I just want to emphasize this point. The blessings are to those who partake, not to those who observe. You got to partake. Every time you drink this cup, every time you eat this bread, let the world and other people raise controversy and debates. I'm here to tell you this morning, this is what the Lord said when he said, remember me, remember him. So every time you come to partake of the Lord's Supper, fix your heart and mind on those things. Come prepared. Come wanting, wishing, desiring, longing to meet the Lord in a special way. There's no power in it, and there's no mystical thing that's going to happen, but it will encourage your faith if you come with the right heart and a right mind. It'll bless you. It's been around for a couple thousand years. Can't count how many times I've done it in 38 years. This do in remembrance of me. Because this shows forth my death till I come. You know, one day this ordinance is going to cease. We don't need to have it because we're going to be with the bread of life. One day it'll cease. Until that day, you want encouragement? Come to the Lord's table with the right heart and the right mind. Watch what happens. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your word. Father, we pray now that, Lord, you would bless the preaching of thy word to our hearts. We pray that, Lord, we would be remembered or reminded this morning of you, of your sacrifice on Calvary. Lord, help us to take time out throughout the week to meditate not only on the greatness of our God, like we heard in Sunday school, but also the greatness of your sacrifice, which you did on Calvary. May we survey it. May we look at it closely. May we be reminded of it. And may we be encouraged by your great sacrifice to live a life in this world which is pleasing to you. Lord, I pray you'd bless now as we partake. We love you and thank you for all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Here in a few minutes, we'll take a few minutes. If you want to partake, you're more than welcome to partake with us. If you would rather not, then that's okay. You can remain, or you can, if you wish, you can leave, but we invite you to if you'd like to. Brother, if you'll take the bread, then we'll read.